Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now, as you probably know, Andy Burnham is expected to become Labour leader at a special conference on the 17th of July, and hence the Prime Minister of Britain. One of his plans is to have number 10 in the north, and he's attempting what's been called Manchesterism, his economic blueprint that attempts to rid England of its north-south divide. Is that possible? Delighted to be joined by political economist Will Hutton, who was writing recently in The Observer about this very matter. Good morning to you, Will. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm really good. Tell me this. when it comes to Manchester and what Andy Burnham has achieved, are there things there in terms of policy and things that he did that will be easily replicated across other cities throughout the UK?
Great question. The straight answer is yeah, but it's going to take a while. I mean, Manchester has a bit, it's a good story. I mean, go back to, the middle of the 19th century. Manchester was the richest city in the world, and it fell on hard times. And by the end of Mrs. Thatcher's government, it had really fallen low. And it turned itself around over the last 30 years by being very determinedly kind of committing to the new. I mean, in some respects, a bit like what's happened in the better parts of Irish industrial policy.
Yeah.
I mean, it attracted inward investment. It built up its universities. It built an international airport. It made itself a magnet for tech companies. When Burnham became mayor, what was it, 9 years ago, he kind of really kind of turbocharged all that. In particular, what he wanted to do was to make sure that what was going on in the centre of Manchester, the opportunity for jobs and all the rest of it, kind of spilt out into the suburbs of Manchester. And he built this Beeline bus network, kind of taking a lot of private companies into public, not so much ownership, but insisting that they kind of behave themselves, charge cheap fares, and allow people to get to the centre of Manchester kind of regularly and cheaply. And it kind of pulled it all together. Manchester is now the fastest growing city in the UK. So can that be done elsewhere? Yes. Will it take time? Yes. Will it cost money? Yes. But it's important to do it.
And the overriding principle is, Will, that he gives, or that these communities will have direct control over things that shape daily life, such as housing, utilities, transport and education, some of the things you just mentioned there.
That's right.
So he has other cities then. We look at Liverpool, Leeds, Sheffield, Newcastle, Birmingham, Bristol and Nottingham, that what's happened in Manchester now would hopefully be replicated in these cities.
That's the plan. I mean, it's not as if all those cities you named are basket cases, but they're not catching up. Manchester's left them behind a bit. It's kind of a two-way flow. Britain is very, very, very kind of centralized. It's kind of local authorities raise tiny fractions of the tax revenues they spend. I mean, 5% of the revenue of a place like Manchester comes from Manchester kind of from, council tax and all the rest of it. The rest comes from central government block grants. And that's the lowest percentage in the world, And so trying to give tax raising powers and borrowing powers to kind of local people so they can do stuff on the ground that they know is urgent.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a clever idea. But you also need the top to work. You need the big institutions in the country to work, as well as kind of institutions kind of locally. There's kind of top down and meets bottom.
Yeah.
Top down meets bottom up. That's the plan.
And it's probably more akin to what you'd see in Germany or Switzerland with their kind of regional systems that they have of governing.
You've got it. In fact, interestingly, it wasn't picked up by enough people, and I did do a few bit of stuff on social media about it. Burnham says he's attracted to Germany's basic law and Article 107 in Germany's basic law, which it wrote in 1947 after the war, was that every German region should have the same resource, irrespective of its industrial base or kind of underlying richness, as every other region, so that every citizen in the Germany that was going to be built after the Second World War was going to have kind of an equal opportunities for health, education, housing, all the rest. And Burnham cites that as something he'd like to do in Britain.
Yeah. And how great is the London rest of UK divide, in your view?
Well, you know, I live in London. I was born in London, live in London. But I know the rest of the country quite well. I mean, it's wrong to think of London as kind of, you know, a kind of universal kind of city of 10 million people that is kind of a land of, you know, gold and honey on every street. I mean, there's some real pockets of deprivation in London, you know. I mean, so it's not a kind of universal story. But basically, London's got a lot of skills, a lot of talent. It's got a spread of industries. It's often it's not just the City of London and financial services. It's creative industries. It's advertising. It's publishing. It's theatre. It's hospitality. It's hotels. It's transport as well. I mean, the Elizabeth Line is an amazing kind of way of getting from East to West London. You know, air conditioned underground every 2 minutes. Fantastic. So look, I mean, it's a kind of London's got all these advantages, And although it was hit hard by Brexit, by the way, were some of the better parts of what London does, moving to Dublin, I must tell you.
Well, that is a fact. Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Just to say.
I'm glad you said it rather than me, Will.
But you guys really have kind of, I mean, you know, Ireland has really kind of been able to, Brexit's been a kind of small gift to the Irish Republic, hasn't it? I mean, it really has. Anyway, leave that to one side. I mean, but London's picked itself off the floor a bit after that kind of body blow, self-inflicted body blow. And it's getting it together again. So, I mean, London's got, and the trouble is, of course, is that, you know, it's Dick Whittington in kind of the 15th century, you know, going to London, you know, Samuel Johnson, the great kind of 18th century kind of writer and inventor of the English dictionary, actually. He said the fairest prospects in Scotland is the high road to England, you know, and by that, by which he meant London. I mean, it's had that magnetic kind of impact on Britain for centuries, and breaking that up is going to be really, yeah, really real. Almost, I would say, impossible. Actually, you can mitigate it, but you can't stop it.
Give me your thoughts then on Britain under Burnham, the first 100 days. What can we expect?
Well, he talks about business-friendly socialism, which is kind of what a lot of...
An oxymoron. I
mean, is it an oxymoron? That's the open question. I mean, a lot of Democrats, left Democrats, are winning primaries in the States talking about democratic socialism, which is a kind of the same kind of idea. It's the notion that, I mean, socialism is a kind of inflammatory kind of red rag to many people. But what these politicians are saying, often quite young men and women, is we've got to simultaneously, you know, have high quality public services. You've named it: education, housing, health, transport, alongside a kind of vigorous private sector. And that, you know, the two things go hand in hand. He calls that business friendly socialism. In the old days, they called it the mixed economy. And a Tory like Harold Macmillan in Britain before the Second World War wrote a book called The Middle Way, in which he argued for just that. He would never have dreamt of calling it democratic socialism or business-friendly socialism, but that's what he was on about. And I don't see it as an oxymoron. I mean, I do see it as a kind of, I mean, unfortunately, you have to call it that to kind of appease the party faithful. But I mean, what you're trying to do is to ride twin horses. And by the way, you know, you don't do that badly in Ireland. I mean,
Well, look.
And most of your listeners will get it. You know, you need.
We'll have,
you know,
to leave it there. Well, thanks a million for joining us this morning, and we'll talk to you again soon. All right.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr,
sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8:00. News Talk. Conversation that counts.